You are listening to the Lads After God podcast, a podcast for ladies and lads who are adamant on following God and His ways in this modern world. I am your host, Blessing Mashilani, and I'm pleased to have you here. What is up, beautiful people? It's your boy Blessing, and welcome back to what I believe is your favorite podcast, the Lads After God podcast. We are knee deep into March already. Yes, this year definitely has taken an energy drink and it is in a hurry. We're already in the third month of the year and it looks like Easter is fast approaching. And this year's Easter is so special, especially for my family. My brother will be getting married like a week before Easter, which is super, 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 super wonderful. And yeah, I'm super excited about that. That's actually what has been, you know, keeping me, you know, on my toes all this time, especially since the year started. And yeah, it's such an exciting time for our family, you know, looking forward to, you know, accepting a new member to the family, which is my sister-in-law. And yeah, it's super exciting. And yeah, guys, I just cannot wait to just witness my brother just go through that, you know, fulfilled promise. And yeah, please do not ask me when my turn is coming. Let's just continue trusting God that He knows and He will at the right time make it possible for me to, yeah, whisk my damsel straight into the sunset one day. Yeah, hopefully it will happen for me. Actually, today's episode, guys, is nothing about that. It's actually about a question I got from a little sister of mine who I go to church with. I think she recently got saved and she's in high school, and she sent me a text this one evening and said, "Would you, can you please tell me that when people ask you, how do you know that you are saved, how do you answer them?" And this made me remember how growing up, you know, the church that we go to, you know, we'd have a lot of altar calls after every sermon. You know, there'd be an altar call where there's like, there's an invite, and people would ascend to the podium, and there'd be a sinner's prayer per se, you know, a sinner's prayer that everyone prays. And after that, you know, it would be said that, okay, you are saved. And I remember this one time back in primary, you know, I remember there was a revival at church, and I think I answered, you know, one of those altar calls and went forward. And you know, I remember this one moment after that. I think it was during the week after that particular Sunday. It was during the week. I was, you know, being a typical, you know, primary school student, playing with my friends. I think it was during our lunch break. And as I was just doing that, you know what? That moment where like time freezes, and you're just hit by that realization that, oh, wait a minute, I remember, you know, being prayed for, and I remember, you know, being told that I'm saved. But I remember something where I asked myself, like, okay, now what? Like, I do not feel any different, and how do I actually start living? How do I know that I'm actually saved? You know, and this was a question that I couldn't answer for myself until, you know, when I started, you know, my high school years. That's where I had a deep understanding of what do I actually mean when I say I'm saved. That's when I actually even was able to even start, you know, sharing, you know, my belief with some of my friends. And it's a good question that, you know, my little sister asked. And today I'm just going to record this episode for anyone else who might have asked themselves this question, or at any point, or maybe you have a sibling or you have someone who recently accepted Christ and might be bombarded with this question at a certain point, I think this is the perfect episode to share with that friend or to share with that family member, as I think it will help them. So I compiled a list of questions, so it's almost like a checklist that I believe that every believer should be able to pass this checklist. If you get 100% on this checklist, that's a good sign that you are saved and you are on the right path as a believer. So the first question that I want you to ask yourself, when someone asks you, why do you say you're saved? Is that, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Like, do I actually believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? And if your answer is yes, then yeah, there's a good chance that you're saved, because the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 verse 1, it says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. When you also read from Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, Paul reiterates that for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. So basically this tells us that it is by believing in Christ. It is by believing in, Christ, in God's redemptive gift, through Christ. It is by believing, and not by our works that we are saved. So if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died for your sins and that, he has given you a clean slate and that you are now, wearing his righteousness and you are now, having a righteousness which is not your own, then you are saved. So, it's contrary to what many people, especially even some Christian, spaces where they preach how, we are saved by, good works, charitable works, maybe doing good deeds or maybe being a good person. No, it is by believing in Christ that we are saved. And if you believe in Christ, if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you are saved. Number two, I think you need to ask yourself that, has my life been changed? Am I practicing righteousness? If you read from 1 John chapter 2, verse 29, it says that if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. So I love how this states that practicing righteousness is not something which precedes, being saved. We are not saved by practicing righteousness. We are, we practice righteousness because we are saved. So if you see yourself, you see in your life that, you yearn, to demonstrate, the righteousness that has been imputed onto your life, that's a good sign that, you have been saved. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. So if you are born of him, you'll want to be like him. You'd want to, demonstrate, the type of lifestyle that he lived and he prescribed for all who believe for him. So it's a good sign if you see yourself yearning for righteousness. It's a good sign that you are saved. And then number three, do I love other people? Do I love other people? I think this one is one that is so overlooked, that a child of God, any child of God, any Bible believing child of God who is saved should be someone who loves other people, who loves their neighbor, who loves fellow brethren, who loves even, their enemies. Because if you read from 1 John chapter 4 verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So it should be a trait of any believer to be a loving person, and one thing about love, I think God perfectly demonstrated love, when he loved us, even when we were unlovable. We do not love people because they are lovable. No, we love people even when they are in their debt, even when they are unlovable. That's where, love actually is demonstrated, that it is love. You know, and that's how God demonstrated that he actually loves us. So if you are born of God, it should be a trait of yours that you are a loving person. You know, you are a loving person, not only to people who do good to you, but even to those who do not do good to you. How are you going to be able to even share this, you know, good news of the gospel to people who you do not love? You know, that's just a red flag if you're someone who calls themselves a Christian, but you do not love people. You know, you do not love people. You do not love them enough to pray for them. You know, you do not love them enough to even want to share the gospel of truth with them. So question number four that you need to ask yourself is that, has my lifestyle changed? You know, as a child of God, you know, you should get to a point where you should be able to perceive, you know, this usually happens, you know, after a while as you are growing in your walk with Christ, where you start to perceive, you know, a change in your lifestyle. Because when we read Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5 verse 17, he states that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. We can't be identified with past sins even as believers. Yes, we might struggle with them, but they are not our identity. Please just note this. Please just note this as a child of God, that yes, it is normal for Christians to struggle with sin. Yes, we might struggle with this and that, but that sin shouldn't be your identity. Because the old has passed away, that old identity, you know, where people used to call you a thief, a murderer, that old identity is passed away. But now you are the righteousness of Christ, and even your actions should demonstrate that righteousness that has been imputed unto you. Behold, the new has come. That's just something that is non-negotiable in a child of God, in a child of God's life, that the old has to pass away, that those old behaviors have to pass away. Of course, we struggle here and there, and the word of God, you know, tells us that, you know, when we confess our sins, you know, he is, you know, just enough to forgive us. He is kind enough, he's loving enough to forgive us. But as a child of God, we do not, our identity is not, you know, rooted in our past sins. And then number five is something that, you know, I love so much. You know, one of the things that I love about salvation is that as you become a child of God, even the desire to sin will start, you know, wearing away. You know, you should ask yourself this, that have I stopped desiring sin? When you read 1 John chapter 5 verse 18, it says, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. You know, everyone who is born of God does not keep on sinning. That means that you do not willfully find yourself, you know, in partaking in sinful acts. You know, you not willfully, do what is contrary to what the word of God prescribes. So that desire to sin, it starts wearing off as you grow in your walk with God. So if you are someone, for example, who used to indulge in, you know, loads of alcohol and alcoholism, that desire will start wearing away as you, you know, grow in your relationship with Christ. You know, because now you have that relationship with Christ, you realize that some actions are offensive to him. You know, some actions, you know, are contrary to, you know, his will for your life, and that's why that desire will wear away. And then another thing that, you know, is something that we should see in your life as a believer, you should ask yourself that, are my fruits, you know, the fruits of my actions reflecting my inward transformation? I think it was Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 verse 20. He said, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. That, you know, a child of God, or even someone who only professes to be a child of God but is false, what will set them apart is the fruit of the actions, the fruit, you know, of, you know, what they demonstrate as you know, children of God. You know, we know that Paul in his letter to the Galatians, you know, when we read from chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, he says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So these are some of the things that we should, you know, see in your life as a believer. We should see as you continue to grow. We should see you bear fruit. You know, you should be a Christian who bears fruit. You know, bearing the fruit of love, bearing the fruit of joy, of peace, of patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's those are the fruits which we should be able to identify in your life as a child of God. And I want you to know that the enemy, you know, even, you know, from the past, he's always been an accuser of the saints, and he will often try to plant doubt in your mind. He will often, accuse you, and will often remind you of your past life and your past sins. And he will often try to condemn you with some of the things that you do get wrong. But I want you to know that, you know, if anyone is in Christ, you know, there is therefore now no more condemnation to anyone who is in Christ. Meaning that, you know, you are not condemned. Christ does not condemn you. You are now hit the righteousness of God. And I want you to know that you are saved. Little sister, little brother, big sister, you are saved. You are the righteousness of God. Start walking with confidence in your walk with Christ. Do not, you know, walk like someone who is unsure of themselves. Walk like someone who knows their identity, who knows that, you know, they are the righteousness of God. So walk, you know, life, walk this life thing, knowing that you have access even to the most holy place. You now have access to have that communion, that you know, relationship with the Father that even the Old Testament saints didn't have. You now have that privilege to call God Abba, Father, and say, "My Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." That is the access that you now have through Christ. So I want you now to walk this life and do this life thing, knowing that you are not alone. You are never alone. Even in those moments where you do feel alone, know that he is with you. Know that you are, you know, you will never be left alone. Know that even in the persecution that you will meet, know that even in, you know, the testing that you will encounter, know that you are not alone. Know that you are loved. Know that you are being prayed for. Know that you are part of the body of Christ. You are part of a community of believers who have the same goal as you, which is to one day have those tears wiped away and to one day, you know, see him and behold him in his glory. So with those words, I say, child of God, you are saved. You are a child of God. And maybe you're listening to this and you are not saved. I just want you to know that do not withhold such good things from yourself. It is so easy and it is so relevant that you should accept, you know, this free gift of salvation. First thing you need to do is just to believe that Christ came and died and lived a righteous life, a life that you will never be able to live yourself, for we were all born sinners and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. He lived that righteous life and he died for our sins, and he died so that we might be born again and born in his righteousness, born in a new identity. And that righteousness that he lived, it is now imputed, that clean record that he has, it is now imputed to us, so that God in his holiness, God in his justice, when he, you know, is supposed to, you know, inflict his justice and his wrath upon us, he no longer sees our sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ upon us, and he now sees, you know, even his own children when he looks at us, because now we are born into the family of Christ. We are now siblings with Christ. We are now children of God. So I want you to accept this free gift of salvation. It doesn't matter what the enemy might be accusing you of. It doesn't matter how bad and how, how gruesome your past is. I think it's the prophet Isaiah who says, God through the prophet Isaiah says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins might be as red as crimson, I will wash them and they shall be as white as snow. And I promise you, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God is able to remove your sin from you. That guilt that you struggle with, those sleepless nights that you struggle with, God is well able to help you with them. He is well able to give you a clean slate. He is well able to give you a newness that no therapy, that no man can give you. It is only found in him. With those words, I say, receive this free gift of salvation today. Have a conversation with your father. He's your father. He's waiting upon you, and he's waiting to welcome you with the most open and loving arms. May God bless you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Lads After God podcast. To get in touch, do follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram by searching for Lads After God. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon.